sharp betting information.
Welcome back to Podcast 57-2018. I am your host, Kiev O'Neill. You can tweet me at The Public Dog, and you can tweet us at The Odds Breakers. Just watched my Badgers beat Xavier. Should be a quality win for them. I know Xavier's not ranked in this one set of rankings. I see him at 27th. They lost their guards, Makura and Trayvon Blewett. And, they still got some big guys down there, and I think they're going to be ranked later. So this could be a quality win for the Badgers. Pretty happy about that. Didn't bet this game because I did not have a good feel for either team. Sometimes it's just better to not bet and watch this early in the season. You know, a lot of things are not accurate yet. KenPom's not accurate. There's many things that need to, come to fruition. Sometimes, these teams with returning starters are overrated. You know, I mean, you see that, and then everyone jumps on them, and they're wrong. There's just a lot of variance here. You got to look where your new coaches are, and are the new coaches any good? You know, a lot of times people fade new coaches, but sometimes the new coaches might be an upgrade. So we always have to think about that and, put it into your handicap. I'm still more focused on football, but I'm sprinkling in plays for our members. You know, it's a busy time of season right now. You have to follow your ABCs, just like in sales. ABC, always be capping, right? It's a busy time of year. And speaking of capping, we are looking for more handicappers at the Odds Breakers. We are expanding our website. It's going to be newspaper article based. There's going to be a lot more free picks in all sports out from our handicappers. And, we're just growing this thing. If you want to get your name out there, please contact us through theoddsbreakers.com, and we'll see if we can help you out and help us out at the same time. If you're looking for a sports book, please visit mybookie.ag. Use the promo code TheOddsBreakers for a one-time 50% bonus. Terms and conditions apply. If you're looking to help us out, well, we would like to help you out. Please visit theoddsbreakers.com and become a member and a patron subscriber for $12.99 a month, which is going to switch very soon. All the old members will be locked in at that rate forever, minus, cost of living. And you'll get our picks before the line moves, as well as the podcast a little early. So please do that. And if nothing else, please visit theoddsbreakers.com. Subscribe to our free picks newsletter. Let's get right into some plays, shall we? We have a very good show for you today. Obviously, we're going to go over our college plays. Cub fan Danny, I believe, is back, which has been killing it in the NFL. And we're going to try to get him back on and talk to him about some of his NFL picks with ours as well. Let's get started here. Michigan State versus Nebraska. This is really the tale of two teams in a nutshell. One's been a disappointment down the stretch. One's been motivated down the stretch to get better for next year. One team is great on offense, bad on defense. One team is great on defense and bad on offense. And I think you know which teams we're talking about here if you watch college football. Yards per play, you have Nebraska 6.5 on offense, giving up 6.2 on defense. Michigan State 4.9 on offense and giving up 4.8 on defense. That gives Nebraska a slight edge in net yards per play. The fact that Michigan State was just devastated in their revenge spot against Ohio State makes me like the spot for Nebraska. It does. The fact that Michigan State lost their top wide receiver earlier this year, Felton Davis, a few weeks back, and just lost their top running back, L.J. Scott, last week, out for the season. I think the rest here is gravy, and that's huge for Nebraska. There's a quarterback controversy brewing here in Michigan State between Brian Lewerke and Rocky Lombardi. I think that's a game changer here. Nebraska's hungry. Take the points. Take the money line. Do it early. Nebraska, I got 2 points. I'm not sure what it's at right now. I think that it's it's around there. So next game, Virginia versus Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech laying 6.5 here. Well, Georgia Tech's had a nice run in the ACC lately, and a very nice win against the Hurricanes. Right? I mean, that was a huge win, I think. But you know, this is time for the letdown spot after beating Miami. If there's one thing that Bronken Mendenhall knows how to do from his days in the Mountain West, coaching BYU, it's to stop the triple option, okay? The Cavaliers are only allowing 4.2 yards per rush, all right? Only 4.2 in a tough ACC conference. Well, pretty tough, right? It's a power five. Well, the Yellow Jackets allow about 4.3. The key here is that Virginia can throw the ball when needed. So I expect both these teams to stop the run. And Bryce Perkins averages 7.6 yards per attempt for Virginia, 64% completion. You know, that's pretty high. Georgia Tech this year on offense, they rarely throw the ball. When they're down, they do. They average a dismal 49% completion percentage, 4-4 touchdown to interception ratio. So the handicap here is simple for me. Virginia, stop the triple option, win the game, right? And we'll take a look at the total as well as on this game. But we're taking Virginia plus the 6.5 points. Kansas versus Oklahoma. Oklahoma is laying 36.5 points. If you look at the past Oklahoma versus Kansas spreads, that's about right. Kansas is kind of like the group of five team in a power five conference, right? Well, I'm not so sure if that's right anymore, though, because Kansas has done a bit better this year, and I think they, they deserve a pass. You know, they're not that juggernaut in football, of course. We know that, right? And I got to tell you, if Oklahoma wasn't looking ahead to West Virginia and they needed this win, you know, I might not be on this game. So this is a sandwich spot. Let's face it. Oklahoma's got done facing Oklahoma State. Barely won that game. Emotional ending. They went for two, Oklahoma State, and they didn't get it, you know, and Oklahoma won. Now they have West Virginia on the docket. That's going to likely cost one of these teams playoff berth or possibly the Big 12 championship. This is the definition of a sandwich spot here, right? This one, like I said, this is not one of those bad Kansas teams. The Jayhawks are averaging 0.3 yards per play and 4 points more on offense, more than they did last year. It's pretty significant. But on defense, they average 0.4 yards per play and 15 points better than last year. So this is like a last year type spread, yet I think it's more of a, this thing should be more like 26, right? Lincoln Riley would be crazy to keep his starters in if he's up by 21 points going into the second half. I can see back doors. I can see all kinds of situations here where Kansas easily covers a spread. Kansas, take the points, plus 36.5, right? Oregon State versus Washington. Washington laying another 32.5 points, right? Huge spread again, but another ugly, smelly dog. I'm not betting Oregon State because they're a good team, right? I'm not. They give up 7.5 yards per play, one of the worst defenses in the league, probably top 10. But I'm betting them because I just know something about the Washington Huskies, right? The Dogs have a huge tendency to play down to their opponent, and Chris Peterson isn't a blowout coach. he's a respectable type coach. He doesn't blow out teams, and he has no reason to. Let's look at the easier teams that he played. When they played Colorado, they only won by 14. When they played Cal, they lost by 2, right? 10 to 12. When they played UCLA, they only won by 7. When they played ASU, which is a better team, you know that, but they only won by 7. And when they played BYU, they had complete control of the game but let off and won by 28. So you see, they're not trying to blow anyone out, and they're going to take their foot off the gas in the fourth quarter. Oregon State at least can score points. They average 27.5 points per game, 5.4 yards per play. You know, they can at least put up some points here. And this is a huge look-ahead spot to the Apple Cup. Huge. I have Washington by, you know, 29 points-ish in the power ratings. But like I said, this is a pure look-ahead spot to the Apple Cup and a huge game against Washington State. We're taking the points here again. 32.5. Take the points. Tulane versus Houston, minus 10. Houston laying 10. 10.5-ish in some books. We give it out a 10. This is a get-up spot for Houston, okay? And we have to look at what they do well in this handicap. They score a ton of points, right? Running at 5.6 yards per rush, 7.1 yards per play. That's top team. They also stop the run, 3.9 yards per run. That's really good. Their weakness is against the pass, as we've seen against SMU. But here's the handicap. Tulane, on the other hand, they can't throw the ball well at all. They can't. They're like an option team. They rank 110th in passing yards out of 130 teams, and they only pass 33% of the time. Like I said, they have that option. And unless they're down a lot of points, they might not pass it at all. Being that they run the ball, they are playing into Houston's strength of stopping the run. and that's why I love the handicap here. You know, if they are a passing team and a bad running team, then this might be a shootout and you don't know what's going to happen. But this plays into Houston's strengths. Home game at Houston. This win for Houston will clinch the American Athletic Conference West. And I think they put one on Tulane here. I'm taking Houston minus the 10 points. I think that's a great play. Arizona versus Washington State. Washington State laying minus 10. Well, I think if you saw what I did with Oklahoma and Washington, you know what's going to happen here, right? This game may be a really exciting one. This Arizona team hasn't been putting up the numbers that they did last year. They haven't. And but I think it's because they had that new coach in Sumlin, and he changed some things. But over the last few games, Khalil Tate decided to kind of just take over. He's healthier now. He's hungry for an upset. Over the last three games, both of these teams have averaged over 76 plays per game. And they've been, pouring on some serious offense. Arizona, over the last over that stretch, is averaging 39 points per game again. It's like last year's Arizona, right? And they played some decent teams: Oregon, UCLA, Colorado, middle of the road Pac-12 teams. Okay, Washington State, on the other hand, is the class of the Pac-12. They average 38 points per game. And over 6.2 yards per play. Washington State has that Apple Cup coming up. Huge game. And this may have college football playoff implications. All signs point to look ahead to Washington. They may have forgotten that this Khalil Tate-led team scored 37 against them last year. The final score was 58-37. Revenge spot for Arizona. This is dangerous for Washington State. And I predict a high-scoring game here, okay? A very, very high-scoring game. the way these guys play. So I'm taking Arizona the 10 points. And don't forget to
sprinkle that shit.
And I love the over 59. That's the better bet, I think, too. Over 59. Take Arizona. Take the points. Take the over 59 here, baby. Our premium plays to members are Memphis versus SMU. There's going to be Utah State versus Colorado State. Arizona versus Washington State. Florida International versus Charlotte. And Northwestern versus Minnesota. Those are some of our premium plays sent to members. Here's some quick hitters. Ole Miss versus Vanderbilt over 67. Let's try this again. We almost hit this at Texas A&M, but lost. Vandy is worse of a defense than Texas A&M, and they like to throw the ball a ton. Ole Miss is, like I said before, top 5 in yards per play, top 19 in points per game, top 30 in pace, and bottom 16 on defense. So, but what I do like here about this over, both teams are trying to make a bowl. They still have it. They still have a shot to make a bowl. So I'm easily going to take the over here. I think Vanderbilt's like more of the poor man's Texas A&M with worse of a defense, and they're going to give up more points. And then Memphis versus SMU, we're talking about the total here, not the side. I'm taking this over 72.5. I predict this game to be the biggest shootout of the week, if it's not Arizona versus Wazoo. Memphis is a top 3 team in yards per play at 7.5, top 6 in points per game at 45, and on the road, they are terrible, allowing 42 points per game on the road. SMU, on the other hand, played Michigan, TCU, and the non-conference that kind of messed up their stats a little bit. And since the Central Florida game, they only lost to Cincinnati by 6. They beat Houston by 14 points at home. And they scored 45 points that game. And they scored 62 last week at Utah. So they're fighting for the AAC, American Athletic Conference West. And they're going to put up a great fight here against Memphis, baby. I like Memphis versus SMU over 72.5. I'm also going to look at that Virginia under. You know, you think about it, these teams are going to run the ball and stop the run. That could be another play as well. I will tweet it out. I have one more for you. Syracuse plus 10.5, taking that in the money line sprinkle against Notre Dame. You know, don't understand this line. If Northwestern was a 10-point dog against Notre Dame, and it was at home, and this one's at Yankee Stadium, but still there's, you know, a third Notre Dame fans at that Northwestern game. Then this should, I think this should be a 6-point favorite. Personally, Syracuse is a pretty good team. They can score some points. They do have some efficiency problems, but, you know, they're hit and miss really. I think, Dino Babers has done a great job with this group. And I really think that they have a shot here, to cover this spread, possibly win this game outright. If you look at how they can put up some points. And their defense is a lot better than people really, you know, have given them some credit for, you know. Let's take a look at what they're doing here on defense. Syracuse allows only 5.8 yards per play, 4.4 on the ground. You know, they play pretty fast. And, you know, so I think, you know, they've been on a 4-game winning streak here. They beat NC State, which is a decent team. They kept it close with Clemson, 4 points. Then they lost at Pitt, but, you know, Pitt's a pretty good team. And that was an overtime game type, or that went all the way to the end. Did that go overtime? Yeah, I think that did go overtime. And that's the only losses they had. Now, I think that, you know, Notre Dame's going to score some points here, so this could be a possible over bet. But right now, definitely taking the plus 10.5 possibly, and money line that sprinkle that money line. All right, now it's time for
the sharp side of the force.
The sharp side of the force is brought to you by uwager.eu. For a 50% bonus, use the promo code TheOddsBreakers. All right, lots of sharp line movement here. Remember, we only cover the sides if there's over a 20% difference between ticket count and money. And for the total, it's got to be a 30% or more difference between ticket count and money. All right, Tulane at Houston. There's some sharp money on Tulane at plus 10. I disagree with this one. New Mexico hosting Boise State, plus 21.5 to plus 19.5. So sharps on New Mexico there. You know, let down spot for Boise State after beating Fresno. Dual action on Toledo at Kent State. So Toledo has definitely had some juice on it. Wisconsin at Purdue, it went from plus 6 to plus 4.5. Well, geez, if Hornibrook's playing for sure, but if he's not, then ugh. Virginia at Georgia State at plus 6.5. Sharps hit Minnesota hosting Northwestern plus 4 all the way down to plus 1.5. You know, I'll tell you, Northwestern, they clinched the Big Ten West. And, you know, this is their letdown spot and their take it easy spot. Minnesota, much better home team than road team. UMass at Georgia, plus 44 down to plus 41. Middle Tennessee State at Kentucky at plus 16. Maryland hosting Ohio State, plus 17.5 all the way down to plus 14. Be careful on this one. Maryland, like we said last week, they're a team that blows out the easy ones and gets blown out by the tough teams. Probably not going to have a side here. NC State at Louisville, plus 14.5 to, or plus 16.5 down to plus 14.5. Actually, sorry, I said that wrong. NC State at Louisville. NC State went was minus 14.5, and it went to minus 16.5. I wrote that down wrong from when I wrote it today. FIU at Charlotte, minus 5.5 to minus 6.5. 99% of the money on FIU. Arizona at Arizona State. From plus 10 to plus 9.5, sharps on Arizona. Mississippi State, sharps on Mississippi State, hosting Arkansas, minus 19 to minus 21.5, past that key number. Sharps on Oklahoma, hosting Kansas, minus 34 to minus 36.5. Not sure about that one myself. UTEP at Western Kentucky, sharps on UTEP at plus 7. Sharps on Nebraska, hosting Michigan State at plus 2, and sharps on Florida hosting Idaho minus 40. Sharp totals. FAU versus North Texas under 63. Dual action on Memphis versus SMU over 72 to 73. Sharps on Boise State versus New Mexico under 63. Sharps on Iowa versus Illinois over 58.5. Huge difference here. A 77% difference between money and ticket count. So that means everyone's betting the under and the sharps are hitting the over by a lot. Wisconsin versus Purdue. Under 52.5. Definitely see that if Horny's not playing. Dual action on Northwestern versus Minnesota. Under from 51 down to 47.5. Dual action on Duke versus Clemson. Over 57.5. 98% of the money's on the over there. Air Force versus Wyoming, under 43. Tulsa versus Navy, over 52.5. Boston College versus Florida State, under 49. Washington versus Oregon State, under 58. Iowa State versus Texas, under 52, down to 47.5. And San Diego State versus Fresno State, under, from 45 all the way down to 41.5. San Diego State not looking as a team that can score a bunch of points. Let's get into the NFL with Cub fan Danny. All right, it's time for some NFL, and we have Cub fan Danny back. You can tweet him at Cub fan Danny. How you doing, bud?
Hey, man, great.
Awesome. Awesome, buddy. So, NFL action week 11, my friend, and there's some sides I like here. I don't know if you found some nuggets yourself, but I'm pretty excited. Do you have a few plays for our listeners?
Yeah, I'm going to do something I haven't done all year long, so I'm sure you'll pick up on it here pretty quick. So let me get to it. First game, we got Eagles at the Saints. I think the hardest thing to do is to repeat as a champion, right? I think we could both agree. And when New England's doing it every single year, to me, it's absolutely amazing because you see all these teams do great and then they all of a sudden fall apart, right? Mm-hmm. So it's really that championship hangover, I feel, is a real thing. You know, the Eagles, perfect example. They're sitting at 4-5 this year, third place in the East and reeling with injuries, right? So that's not good. They're still the defending champs. They still have Carson Wentz, but they're going up against the Saints. Okay. Now on the flip side, what the heck is going on in New Orleans? Right. I mean, heck, Drew Brees, is he 29 or is he 39? Right. Mm-hmm. He's thrown 304 passes this year and has one interception, mm-hmm. one interception. Absolutely mind-boggling, right? He has the highest quarterback rating of his career at 123.8. He's completing 77.3% of his passes and already has four game-winning drives this year, right? The guy's playing out of his mind. The knock on the Saints over the years is they couldn't have went away from the dome, right? And put up points. Well, this year they're 5-0, averaging 36 points a game. This week they're playing at home, which only makes them more dangerous. At home, they're averaging over 37 points a game. In week two, they only put up 21 points against the Browns, and that was week two, okay? Now, last week, they dropped 51 in Cincinnati and didn't punt it once the entire game. Against LA, they dropped 45, and against that's a good defense. Minnesota, a very good defense again. In Minnesota, tough place to play. They put 30 points on, right? So that's 3 weeks in a row. Here's my point. The Saints don't let off the gas, right? They play games like they're behind. Run the ball to kill time? I don't think so, right? They're completely passing and going to put points up, and they don't let it go. Here's the deal. Drew Brees, he's never won an MVP, correct? So I think this year, they're going to put the pedal to the metal and really just put as many points as they can, especially for Drew Brees, so he could finally get that respect for the MVP. So for me, what does this mean for my pick this week, right? The Saints are going to score a lot, and they're going to score quick, and they're going to score a lot. So when the Saints score a lot, that means the Eagles are going to be behind, and they're going to be forced to throw as well to try to keep up. Less running, more throwing, less running the clock out, and getting chewed up, all right? The over here is at 56. It's a high-scoring game, and the NFL's been trending towards scoring. It's been getting higher every single year. It's been going crazy. Now, when I look at this game, 56 is a lot, but the Saints are at home. The offense is playing out of this world. And to me, I look at this, and the ending score is going to be in the low 60s, right? So for my play, I'm taking the over this week at 56.
Wow, man. The way you're setting it up, I thought you were going to take the side on that one. So definitely threw me a curveball there. You know, that's a high total, but they've been taken before. You know, I think that was it the Rams Saints game was like a 59 and it went way over. Wasn't it that one?
Yeah, and it was then, like, and up like 70 or something like that.
Yeah,
80.
People jumping all over that. So what's funny about this game, I was looking at the Eagles. I'm like, okay, they're the Super Bowl champs. They're pissed off after this week. This is probably a good get-up spot for them. And then I look at Philadelphia's injury report, and their defense is in shambles, man. I mean, cornerback Ronald Darby out for the season.
Yep.
Jalen Mills, highly questionable for this game. Sidney Jones, hammy, highly questionable for this game.
Yep.
You know, they lost Derek Barnett, a defensive end recently. They lost Rodney McLeod earlier in September. Yeah, dude, this defense is banged up, man. So that just kind of goes more towards your point. But I was actually thinking about taking their side. But after looking at this injury report, man, I almost lean the Saints on this one. You know, they're going to win like 55-40 or something.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, yeah. So it's probably going to be a no play for me on the side. But, unless I decide to go with the Saints. But, that over is probably still a little low. And get it now because we know the public will be betting it up, my man. I like the play, Danny. I like the fact he had the balls to do that. You know, that's what the NFL is absolutely trending.
Right.
Houston versus Washington. Washington's getting 3 points at home. This is kind of like a story of two teams here. You know, one's trending up, one's trending down. Both of these coaches suck. I mean, when Houston played Dallas, you thought, you know, that was the worst battle of the two worst coaches. But now that Hugh Jackson's fired, you know, Jay Gruden might be the guy that's next. I'm not sure. But either way, Washington, they had a great start this season, right? And they surprisingly beat a few big teams like the Panthers, the Packers. But, you know, what we forget that when they played the Panthers and the Packers, they're banged up. They're really beat up. The Packers were missing a bunch of receivers, some defense, and the Panthers were missing Greg Olsen and, you know, a couple other guys. And so the Redskins skated by that. They've been running the football very well until that Falcons game where they lost both their starting guards and their big smash run blockers, right? Now, last week, they somehow got to injure three offensive tackles. Their great rookie, Jaron Christian, tore his MCL. Their star tackle, Trent Williams, may miss another game with a thumb injury. The Redskins may not have a starter on the offensive line this game. It's maybe their center. I have to look at that one, but the Redskins are coming off a misleading score here against the Bucs. They won 16-3, but they're outgained by over 200 yards. Freaking Fritz Magic, he threw for 500 yards himself, right? And so this was a complete misleading score and just terrible efficiency by the Bucs. But one thing I do, you know, I didn't like that Houston lost, you know, their wide receiver this year. But I do like Kiki Kuti, and he's going to be back in the slot. And they obviously got that big guy from Denver to fill in at receiver. And I think Josh Norman is going to be over DeAndre Hopkins, but Kuti and a couple other of those guys are going to get wide open here. So I'm taking Houston -3 here. That line's telling me a lot. And I'm probably going to take a prop bet on the total sacks for this game. Demaryius Thomas, that's what I was trying to say. He's going to get a lot of targets this game. I'm liking Houston -3.
All right, good. I like the pick, right? And that kind of leads me into what I'm going to talk about here, the Houston-Washington game. You know, Washington, I know everything you said there is correct, but they're still 6-3, right? They're quietly having a good year. And they're doing it by playing defense, all right? They allowed over 20 points three times this year. Once 21 against the Colts, 43 against the Saints, and Saints score against everybody, 38 against Atlanta. So that's the real stinker game defensively. You know, even with those two really stinkers with Atlanta and the Saints, they're still averaging 19.4 points per game defensively, right? Which is fifth in the NFL. It's really good. They're still playing against NFL teams, so it's good, right? The defense is going to give up yards. You're right. They did last week. It happened against Tampa Bay, but they bend, but they don't break, okay? The offense isn't great either. At this point in his career, Alex Smith, he's just an above-average quarterback in right now, right? He's not going to
barely.
Yeah. I mean, look, he's not going to turn the ball over, right? He's only got 10 touchdowns this year, but I think he's got three interceptions. He's not going to turn it over, right? So he's not going to make mistakes, and he isn't going to Drew Brees you, all right? So on the flip side, like Washington, Houston has a very good bounce-back season as well, right? So Watson went down last year. It absolutely killed him. He's come back. He's put a very good year put together. After throwing seven picks in the first six games, he hasn't thrown one since, so he's been pretty good, right? And defensively, they're also playing very well. So the last 5 weeks, they're only giving up 15.2 points per game, right? So here we got two teams that are playing some great defense, right, and running the ball to control the clock. This, to me, bodes well for a low-scoring game. The over-under for here is 42.5, and it's always it's a really scary low number, but the way these two teams are playing defensively and how they're running the ball and their offense isn't putting numbers through the roof, this is going to be more of a bend-and-not-break type game. So I'm going to take the under here at 42.5.
No, I definitely like it. That makes a lot of sense. You know, the only thing you would have to worry about is if you know, a fumble and from their offensive line being so bad, or a pick six, right? Alex Smith doesn't really throw pick sixes. He was one of the most efficient quarterbacks last year. So you have that on your side. Washington does have a low score, opponent score, but they rank 22 in opponent yards per play. So not great, but Houston ranks fourth in opponent yards per play at 5.2. So that's a really great angle. I mean, J.J. Watt's been playing awesome, right? Jadeveon Clowney's been playing great. This defense for Houston's been really stepping it up. So yep. I could definitely see the under there, or even use it in one of your teasers if you thinking about something. You need to try to put it against one of your other sides. It's always good to do a low total because there's less variance in the game. So tease that sucker right up to 48.5, and you'll be feeling good right there.
Yeah, look at Washington's last few games here. 16 points, 14 points, 20 points, 20 points, 23, 19, right? Their highest scoring game of the year was 31 against Green Bay, mm-hmm. right? So mm-hmm. they don't put up a lot of points. And, you know, Houston's no juggernaut either. So let's not think that they're dropping 30 on everybody as well. They're good offense, right? They're averaging 24 points a game. It's nothing, it's 16th in the league. It's the average, right? So, I defensively, I know we had a bad look with them at Atlanta a couple weeks ago, but still, they're still shutting some teams down. So, I think it's a great play for myself.
With Will Fuller out, they average a lot less per game, and he's their big guy. You know, he's that deep guy, so you don't have to necessarily worry about that big, huge, pass play. You might be able to handicap that out of the game. And the Redskins, after giving up all those points to Atlanta and those yards to Tampa, it's kind of a get up spot for their defense. So I like where you're going with that one, man. Let's move on to Oakland versus Arizona. Arizona laying 4 points. What a terrible game, Danny.
Just because you're touching this game, I'm giving you props. So.
I love touching these games because they're highly ignored. And I think if you hunt, you can definitely find some value and some reasoning here. So, I took Arizona after they fired their offensive coordinator and they ended up covering against the Niners. Went against a lot of players on that one, so I'm going back to the well. There's two personalities to this Raiders team, right? The one who wants to play well at home for the Oakland fans, right? The Oakland fans are diehard for them. They're going to lose their team, and they're going to Vegas, And so the team kind of wants to play good at home, and now it doesn't always work, right? But when they travel – That's when the fact that they completely gave up on their season shows up. The Raiders are 1-3 against the spread on the road. Arizona is 3-2 against the spread at home. Kind of doing a little bit better. You saw they covered against Kansas City last week. You know, Josh Rosen's starting to figure out a little bit. Their offensive line is slightly improved. They're still bad, but they slightly improved. There's still talent on this team as a whole. You still got your leaders, Larry Fitzgerald, right? You got Patrick Peterson. Now, I know Brian Leftwich is their offensive coordinator. They were able to put a few things together against the Chiefs. They came back against the 49ers a few weeks back. The simple handicap here is that what I think is going to happen is going to be a running ground and pound game. Oakland is the third worst team against the run, and that's only by 1 point or 1 yard. They're almost dead last against the run, and they're the 12th worst team against the pass. The Cardinals, they're actually fourth best against the pass due to guys like Patrick Peterson and Antoine Bethea, you know. And lastly, Oakland, they rank dead last in sacks per game, .9. Arizona ranks fifth in sacks per game at 3.2. So that's going to be a huge part of this handicap. I expect Arizona to kind of get things done at home. They need a feel-good game here. This is where we're going to get it. They're playing a team that quit on their coach. This 4 points is telling me the whole story here. I'm taking Arizona laying the 4.
Yeah, I looked at that and I thought the under on this game, right? Neither one of these guys can score points. And the way that both of them are going to run the ball, you know, the over under right now is at 41. And I even considered talking about that for this game. So I even like this game with the under more than being confident that the Cardinals are going to score.
Well, I tried that already, and Josh Rosen threw 2 pick-sixes, and so that didn't work out. didn't work out too well for me against Denver, literally. So you got to understand when teams suck this bad, they turn the ball over, and that could destroy a good under. You know, so I sure as hell ain't betting the over, though. I'll tell you that, man.
I just
think that, you know, the Cardinals win 24-10. You know, I think it's going to be that type of game. They're going to, you know, David Johnson's finally going to get a couple touchdowns for his fantasy guys that drafted him. He's going to have a great fantasy game here. And it's going to make them feel good. You know, they're going to
even with the good. Cardinals only scoring more than 24 points once all year long, and that was against San Francisco.
It's worst. Raiders are the worst defense in the league. Yes, absolutely. And very confident about this one. So put some thought into it. What do you got next, bud?
All right, we got Minnesota at Chicago, right? The NFL flexes this game to Sunday night, right? I think you're a Bears fan, right? Oh, I'm a Bears fan.
Come on.
So this is really fun and exciting. At the same time, I go, oh, no, I don't want that game on prime time, right? But the Bears are actually getting some love from the NFL now, right? They're 6-3, top of the NFC North Division here. And look, they're playing really well, right? So this game is for first place. Whoever wins this game will be in first place, right? The Bears are number 5 in offense in points per game. At 29.9, their defense is also number 5 at 19.4 given up per game. So their balance is really there. You typically don't see this, right? They're top 4 in defense, the Bears are, right, giving up yards per game. And two of those were without Khalil Mack. Now that Mack's back at 100%, Allen Robinson's at 100% at wide receiver. Mitch is coming off an offensive player of the week, right? This bodes well for the uptick Chicago, especially since they're all healthy right now. Now, the Vikings have had a weird year, right? I mean, they're 5-4-1. They could certainly, you know, be better, right? And they could certainly look at them and say, my gosh, what the heck are these guys doing, right? It's not the same dominating team as last year. Something's a little bit missing and off. And I don't know if it's the Kirk Cousins thing, but, you know, they're coming off a bye week, and they're expecting to have a lot of good players back, like Anthony Barr, right? Dalvin Cook is now 100% after this bye week. They're coming off healthy, right? The only real concern right now is their best offensive weapon, Adam Thielen. Today he was listed on the injury report with a back and calf, but he should play. So these two teams are going in healthy, all right? So here's what I expect with this game. The Bears are coming in, playing with extreme confidence on both sides of the ball, expecting to win and gain respect from the national media. That's what these guys want. I expect the Vikings to come in and take out the Bears and taking what they feel is theirs, first place in the division. They feel like they're the best team in the division, all right? So my play this week is going to be first half over 22.5. Teams coming, so, you know, when teams are coming off the bye, you know, they could be a little bit sluggish, right, on both sides of the ball, which kind of bodes well for the Chicago offense since they're moving, they've been doing really well, especially in the beginning of the game, right? They can outscore anybody. And if the Vikings do come out strong and they play well and they could score, you know, the halftime score could be 17-10, pretty easy, you know, 20-13, right, 20-14. So I can see it going either way with either team ahead, but with that, I'm taking the over halftime at 22.5.
Well, you know, of course, I was expecting you to take the side of the Bears, and you didn't do that. And you know, and I appreciate you talking both sides of this game. I mean, coming off the bye, I hate betting teams coming off a bye. You know, mm-hmm. I hate betting on pissed off teams trying to take the division back with what's they believe is theirs. Right? They're getting healthy. Xavier Rhodes is coming back. You know, absolutely. I mean, a lot of the sharps that I've follow and talk to say they're taking Minnesota here, and I can't. I do bet against my own teams. I can just see a scenario where Cousins chokes. I at the beginning of the season, what I say about Kirk Cousins, I said they gave away Case Keenum 13-3, and now Cousins is going to have all this pressure on him. You know, Cousins is not a top quarterback. He's a good quarterback. He's top maybe 14. He is not a top five guy, you know? And so I don't know what he's going to do against all that defensive pressure. Right. And I don't know if they're going to be sluggish against coming out. So this is a weird total. I think it's like 45 or 46. I expect these guys to beat each other up bloody and maybe show some red zone defense here. I don't know. But at the same time, the Bears aren't even running the ball. The only person that runs the ball really is Mitch. Yep. So that worries me a little bit about there's going to be more points, right, with the Bears. You know, there's going to be more plays per game, essentially, the way they've been playing this game. So I'm wondering how much of the run game, if needed, what's going to happen here. So a lot of variance here. I'm staying away from this game, but I kind of see the angle you're taking. I just don't have an opinion on it.
Fair enough.
I have just one more play. Well, it's a teaser, and our premium play for our subscribers is Dallas versus Atlanta, but I have a teaser for everyone, and I think that and I'm going to talk a little bit about this too. So I'm going to take the Chiefs, and I'm going to tease them all the way to +9.5 with Carolina versus Detroit. I'm going to tease the under up from 51 to 57 here, okay? And so, it's a high total, right? 51. So here's the thing about Kansas City. This is something that's weird that happened, and this over-steaming stuff does happen. So I'm really thinking about taking a position on Kansas City. The Sharps hit this at -1. The Rams were 1-point favorites when this thing opened, and it got steam, you know? They're thinking, well, these are pretty equal teams. You know, the Rams are slightly higher on the power ratings, maybe by a point or two. So the Rams should be favored by, you know, at home. Well, they only get 1.5 for home. They don't get a full 3 because it's L.A. You know, they should be favored by 3 points. Well, this got oversteamed. When people chase steam, it keeps going over. They're like, oh, look at all this money is coming in the Rams. I need to get on this. Well, I bet you the first person that bet -1 sure as hell wouldn't have taken -3.5. And that person might have taken the +3.5 here, you know, on such a close game of great, you know, athletes here, great teams. So, you know, when I see this thing going past 3.5, you know, I'm seriously considering taking a position on Kansas City. I didn't yet. I'm still watching this line, and I don't care if I don't play it. It's not going to hurt my feelings any. But you know that Mahomes can score. You know if they're down by 8 points or 9 points, they're going to score and get a touchdown left and onside kick it, right? I mean, this thing has backdoor cover written all over it with a guy like the Mahomes, Andy Reid, the Chiefs. Are you kidding me? So sure as hell not taking the Rams here. Unless there's a pick 'em or minus one, right? And so, you know, I think the safest bet is to know that the Chiefs are not going to lose by over a touchdown. No chance. I'm teasing that to +9. And on the other side of things, you know, Detroit versus Carolina, I think Matt Patricia's smart. He's a defensive guy. He was defensive coordinator for the Patriots for, what, 13 years? He's supposedly Bill Belichick's longest tenured guy before he left last year. He's gonna not let Stafford get killed anymore. He's gonna try to run the ball with Kerryon Johnson because they have no pass blocking, so they're gonna try to. That's gonna slow this game down a little bit, and the fact they're playing at home, I think their defense is gonna step up a little bit too. They've slightly improved. They, you know, the Bears did try to run the ball a few times, and Detroit stopped them. Now, I think this 51's a disrespect to Carolina's defense too. You know, Carolina's always been known, Luke Kuechly and that great defense, and I think it's a little disrespectful. And when has Carolina just been known to whip up teams? I mean, they did it at home, but then they go to Pittsburgh and they can barely score 14 points at Pittsburgh. You know, and that was because of garbage time. I think they only scored 7 most of that game. You know, I Carolina's one of those average scoring teams here. I see this game probably more like in the low 40s. And so just to be on the safe side, I'm teasing that thing from 51 all the way up to 57 with the Kansas City Chiefs.
Hey, I like it. I've got a teaser for you.
Awesome.
And here we go. So I already talked about the Saints and Eagles going over 56. Okay, so I'm going to end up teasing that down to 50, right, and getting that over. For over 50. So I'm going to be dropping that 56 down to 50. Talked about the Redskins in Houston, the under 42.5. I'm going to bring that number up to 48.5. That's going to give me a lot more flexibility there. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, the third one, I was going back and forth on a lot of them, right? And I was looking at the Cardinals game, right? And I'm thinking, okay, it's 40, 41 over under there, tease it up to 47. But you want to know what? I haven't decided 100% if I'm going with that or I'm going to be going with this team here because I'm really interested in watching it. It's going to make it fun, okay? So the last game that I'm dropping are going to have touchdowns flowing, right? This game was supposed to be in Mexico City, but because the field was so bad, they're bringing it back to LA. Chiefs and Rams, two high-flying offenses are going to come to play and not have to worry about playing in that very high altitude in another country. The over and under right now is really high, 63.5, okay? I'm going to drop it down to 57.5. Makes it much easier to stomach since both of these teams are going to be scoring in the 30s, right? So my three-team teaser is going to be Saints-Eagles over 50, Redskins-Texans over under 48.5, Chiefs-Rams under... Chiefs Rams at 57.5. Yeah. Over.
Hey man, there you go. I mean, you took a position on your totals there and you know, why not? Hopefully one doesn't go wrong for you cause that would make a bad day. But, I don't like teasing, high totals unless I'm pushing it up high, but, you know, we'll see if that one turns out for you. Personally, I can't do that, but, you know, the low totals is what I like to key on in teasing. But, you know, we'll see if this happens. It's like you said, there's more scoring in the NFL today. Yes. There really is, my man. Any other plays?
Mm-mm.
All right.
That's what I got right now, my man.
All right. I am out of plays as well. I do lean Detroit at +4, but I haven't made a position on that yet either. But we're gonna watch that one, see where the money goes on that one as well. But
you know what we call Stafford, right?
Yes, Captain Garbage Touchdown Time to
King of the covers.
Yeah,
King
yeah,
of the covers. Yeah, exactly.
He definitely comes back and pisses a lot of people off, but it's great for fantasy. So, all right. Well, if you have any questions, please tweet us at the Odds Breakers, or please tweet at Cub Fan Danny. Danny, thanks again. Really appreciate coming on, man.
Yeah. Hey, man. Thanks for having me again. It was fun.
All right, everyone. Remember your ABCs. Always be capping. Go get some winners.